Today is a great day, the great day that we have, not quite, but almost 30 more children being confirmed today. So Bishop Molloy is coming out to confirm these children for the 12 noon mass at St. Mary's Church. And that's a great day. It's a great day for that. And it always begs the question, you always get these questions from the teenagers and like that, and yeah, big deal. What's the point? I mean, does it really have any practical application in my life? Well, the answer to that question is, that's up to you. What are you going to do with the gift of the Holy Spirit? You know, do we deny it or do we stuff it? You know, so how do we allow the Holy Spirit to really work in our lives, to make an effect, something good that can really happen in us? Where is God practical in our life? And so we need to look at those things. Where is God practical in life? Am I allowing God to enter into my life? Am I listening to the Holy Spirit? Am I really trying to discern what is God's will for my life? I don't care if it's just simply, who should I marry? What college should I go to? Should I move? What house should I move into? What neighborhood? Let alone, how do I deal with my neighbors? How do I deal with my family members I don't get along with? How do I deal with the person at the grocery store, the person that cut me off driving? All of those have application to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit should be directing our lives. The first question should always be, actually, what does the church say? Because we do believe that the Holy Spirit is guiding the church. What does the church say in these things? That's the first thing we should consult. Or do we consult the world? Do we consult those people on TV, those who don't know anything about Jesus Christ and his ways? Who are we consulting? The church? Jesus? We're consulting at least the Bible? Can we do that? Right? Yet in all things, we consult those things. Also, we look at the fruit. What is the fruit of what we're doing? What's the fruit of what we're doing? What comes about from it? And when we do that, we know all those things that we put in memorization as Catholics: gifts of the Holy Spirit, fruits of the Holy Spirit, the precepts of the church. You remember some of you remember the old Baltimore Catechism? Why did God make you? God made you to love him and to serve him in this life so you can be with him in the next. You had all that memorization stuff in Catholicism. Are we applying it? Are we actually trying, or are we trying to delete it? Delete, 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 delete. Forget that. I don't understand it. Forget it. Delete it. I don't understand that one. Delete it. You'll understand it later. Are you praying about how the application is? I mean, do you even pray about your faith and why the church teaches the crazy things that the world thinks are the dumbest thing? At the church, or maybe it marks you as a person. Oh, you're Catholic? Oh, what? You actually believe that? Huh? Well, yeah. Maybe I don't understand it yet. We will. We will. The ways of God are mysterious. We don't necessarily understand all of God's. He's an infinite being, and we are finite. Our tiny, puny minds can't understand everything God understands. You know, we have to understand that. So what are the fruits? The fruits of the Holy Spirit. What does it produce? Does it produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, holy fear of the Lord? Does it produce any of those things? Does it produce virtue? Does it manifest even more virtue like faith, hope, and charity? Does it manifest at all more in ourselves and in others? Is it prudent? Is it just? Does it have a good balance between temperance and fortitude? We need to know when we need to have fortitude, when we need to have more strength, and when we should say, hey, I need to be gentle about this. But we need to also have fortitude and say, but here's the line. Do we know all these boundaries? Parents, you should know all these things because they're tough to hold. To be able to be, have enough fortitude for your children to say, this is the line, but to be gentle enough about it and say, look, I love you. And I'm doing this because I love you. All these things should be in consideration when we discern the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. Not only do we have to pay attention to what happens to us, but what happens to other people? What is the fruit of what we do on other people? Is it just? Does it help them come to terms of peace, joy, graciousness, to virtue? Bottom line, virtue. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, that's all a symptom of virtue. Obedience. Is it obedient to Jesus Christ? Is it obedient to the Holy Spirit? That's a tough one for Americans. Oh, no, we want to do it our way. What does the world say? Have it your way, right? I did it my way. Obey your thirst. Do whatever you want. What is your passions telling you? What do you feel inside? Just do it if it feels good. It might feel good right away, but it has a consequence later on. See, following the ways of the world has consequences, and we have regrets. Are there regrets? What does it produce in our soul? Does it produce vice? Does it produce pride? Malice in myself and other people? Do I get angry? Do I follow my passions all the time and have regrets? Am I disobedient? Am I filled with anxiety? Do I go into depression after these acts, after which I thought were peaceful, but now I have anxiety and depression? What are the effects of them in my life and in the lives of others? All these things should be here. And if I don't follow the precepts of the church, the commandments of God, I've left the Holy Spirit. See, if we're in mortal sin, we don't have the Holy Spirit with us to help us discern these things. We need the gift, so that's why we go to confession. Which brings us to another thing. What does it do to us, to our church? Does it distance ourselves from Holy Mother Church? Or does it bring us closer to Holy Mother Church? When we disagree with the church and we do things against the church, it takes us away from Holy Mother Church. Does it keep us away from the confessional? Does it keep us away from the Eucharist? Does it keep us away from the belief? And from really having that freedom to say, yeah, I believe in the church, and to be able to have that free conscience within, nothing pulling back inside. Paul said in the second reading, for freedom, Christ set us free to stand firm and not to submit again to the yoke of slavery. Not to submit again to the yoke of slavery. We don't want to lose our salvation, right? For you were called for freedom, brothers and sisters. But do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. We don't use our freedom so that we can do whatever we want. That's not real freedom. Real freedom is being free in the heart and in our soul. We don't have anything holding us back from God. We don't have that anger pointing back to God by pointing back to the church. Again, that goes to that security blanket of Holy Mother Church. For obedient to Holy Mother Church, we know without a doubt that we are obedient to the Holy Spirit. That way I know I'm free. What a great gift that God has given us, that he has given us the discernment of the Holy Spirit. Now these children are going to be confirmed this weekend. As we see in the world, this is a tough world to live our faith. The attack against Christianity in general is so incredible in this last year. I mean, to be in the military, now they're making laws that you cannot practice your faith publicly, which makes it harder for the chaplains. And actually, on the HHS mandate, the military chaplains were silenced by the government. Whoa. What's going on there with that? In Massachusetts and many other states, they're making these laws. It's not just marital homosexual marriages. That's not just it. But transgender type of stuff, laws, in the school system, elementary school system. I'm talking about pre-K through 12th grade. They're teaching children to be open to whether or not they're gay, or maybe they're a boy and then maybe they're meant to be a girl and they can call themselves a girl and then go to the bathroom in the girls' room, no matter what the girls feel. That's going on in Massachusetts right now. This is attack against the church and the faith. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I got a whole bunch of more. There's about five other things I can think of. I'm not going to go into it. See, this is the fruit of the world. Now other people are being suppressed. We don't like to hear it. But this is the fruit of being too temperate, too being laid back about things and not having a fortitude enough. People are being suppressed. It's not just Catholics. All people of all faiths. Because they know once the Catholic Church goes down, there will be nothing holding back from anybody, including the homosexual. Because if the government can arbitrarily say whatever they want, they can change their mind anytime they want. And the homosexuals can be directly attacked. And there's nothing holding them back from doing that. See, there has to be an objective truth guiding us. As Catholics, we have God. For humanity, we have right reason. And we have an ability and we have a duty to follow that. We have an ability and a duty to follow what God has taught us. If not, there are consequences, whether it's in this life or in the next. And that's just simply a reality of our faith. We have to follow our faith. If we want our world to be good, to be holy, to be just, we have to be good. We have to be holy. We have to be just. And we have to fight for what is good, what is holy, what is just. If we don't, none of that will stand, and our society will fall. Again, in this last year, this has been an unprecedented attack on religious liberty. And it's manifesting itself more and more quickly. What are we going to do? We need the Holy Spirit, as we do in confirmation, these kids. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, not to retaliate in anger, not to retaliate to squash somebody, but to do it out of love, not out of pride or selfishness, but out of concern for our brothers and sisters. Because it's not just me and you. It's every other Catholic and everybody else who has any kind of faith at all, any kind of belief. It's for the good of our country, for the good of the world, that we follow our faith. And I encourage you to take courage, take a stand, not to be afraid, to live out the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to be the men and women of grace this world needs. Looking out into the world, it's dark. This world needs a light. You are that light. You are called. Jesus is calling you to go out there and to not look back at what you're plowing, to go out there and to make a difference, one person at a time. I don't expect you to change the world, but in your conversation, actually defend the faith. And if you don't know the faith, try learning about it. You might be amazed at how beautiful our faith is and how the gift of the Holy Spirit can be with you, just like as he wants to be with these children today in the confirmation. We need to pray for these children. They're up for a challenge. They need the grace to be a light to the world. Today, they are a light. They need our prayers so that they may stay, that they may keep being a light to the world, and that you too may be a light. You might find yourselves inspired by these children someday. You might find them helping you out, living out their Christian faith, because you might need them. Pray for them. They need the help. We all need it. We need the gift of the Holy Spirit.